So I think today you'll be happy to say two different point of view, the mathematical point of view of Patrick, maybe the old generation. I'm not saying that it's old, it's just the old. And the engineering solution, which is maybe fast and more simple, simplify life for us. And so the talk today is about how we can make cosine distance scoring, because, you know, Patrick described this morning that he, with his PLDA, he don't need any score normalization. So we try to understand what is score normalization is doing in cosine scoring and how we can move the score normalization from SCORM space to total variability space or I vector space. So the presentation is organized as follows. So first I will give an introduction and the contribution of this paper. I'll try to define, like take time to define what is total variability space, what is cosine distance, how channel compensation work in this space. And after that, I will show you how to understand what score normalization, like ZT norm or Z norm or S norm, is doing in the cosine distance scoring. And I will show you how we develop a new scoring that don't need score normalization. It's still there, but we just move it to the total variability space and give some experiment and result and finally give a conclusion. So recently we developed some new low dimensional speaker representation, which make a lot of life easier for us, you know, because now we just open a pattern recognition book. I want to try PLDA, I want to try LDA, and it can be feasible in this new low dimensional space. So, and we also develop a cosine scoring that don't need any target enrollment, just to extract the I vectors or total factors for target and test, and compute cosine distance and compare this to threshold. It's very easy. There's no complication there. So this makes the decision faster, simple, less complex. There is no scatter. So, but the inconvenient, we still need score normalization. So we use ZT norm or S norm, because in the new version of the system I use S norm. So we did still need that. So I tried in this paper to understand what score normalization is doing in the cosine distance and how I can simulate this kind of scoring directly in the total variability space without going to the score space. So this is I will talk only in this part. And why we did that is just we want to do some speaker and separate adaptation using cosine distance, but I will not talk about. In the paper, we found some result, but Steven, who is next presenter, will talk about. So if you have any question about speaker and separate adaptation, you can talk to him, not to me. Okay, so everyone now that GFA tried to split in the GNM supervectors in two parts. One part is the speaker space, okay, and the second, sorry, so the first part is speaker space, the second part is channel space. So 2 years ago, when we was at Johns Hopkins University for the CLSP workshop in 2008, we tried to see the efficiency of for every hidden variable, like speaker space, common space, and channel space. So we take every component of this GFA and we put it in. We start with for supervector machine, and we use cosine distance, and we see the performance. So we were surprising that the channel factors, when we put it to a supervector machine, rather than having like accurate 50%, because normally channel factors don't contain speaker information, we find that we have an accurate of 20. So it means there is information that we are losing in these channel factors. So in order to restore, maybe I'm wrong to say that, but to minimize the impact of this information that we are losing in speaker factors, the idea of total factors comes up. So the total factor was born in 2008 in Johns Hopkins University. So, and what we did is just, we built separate speaker space and channel space. We built one single space that which modeled both speaker and channel variability. And we call that total variability space. And so when we have the target and the test, we just project both together in this total variability space, and we can just compute the cosine distance there. So the way that we use total variability and what is different between speaker space, like Eigen voice, and total variability in our case. So for the Eigen voice, for the GFA, for each speaker, all his recording is seen as same speaker. So we pull all the recording together. For total variability space is the opposite. So for each recording of the same speaker is seen as different speaker. So we won't try to model both speaker and channel variability. This is the only things. So if you have the eigenvoice algorithm, it's the same things. We use the same algorithm for both. Just the list is different. Okay? So for the eigenspace, we pull the data from the same speaker in the same files, and for total variability, each speaker, each files, each recording file is treated as different speaker. So there's different way to estimate the eigenvoice, okay, or total variability. So the relevance map, so you can use, for each recording, you can estimate GMM supervectors by map adaptation, by relevance map, and then compute PCA, okay? And in our case, we use eigenvoice map adaptation. We suppose that GMM supervectors are not observable, and we use EM algorithm to estimate all this total variability. So why we are using that eigenvoice, I think because like when we was in Johns Hopkins University for the workshop, some people from BUT try different kind, if I'm not wrong, like relevance map and eigenvoice map adaptation for speaker factors training, and we found that the best is eigenvoice. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they can confirm after. And also, eigenvoice is known to be more powerful for the short duration, so maybe it explains why total variability in this case given a better result than relevance map. So when we have a target speaker, target recording and test recording, so we estimate this total variability, total factors, vectors, and we just compute a cosine distance scoring between the two vectors. Okay, so and then compare to threshold. So in order to do channel compensation, so I just first do LDA to do some dimensional reduction and to maximize between speaker and minimize the entrance, the within speaker variability, sorry. And after I use WCCN to do some kind of normalization in the low dimensional space. Okay. So LDA is just like the LDA metric is defined by solving this generalized eigenvalue. So between we use a between speaker variability and within speaker variability matrices. So here there's only one remark that I need to put out. In the first version of the cosine distance, I say that the mean of all the speakers is equal to zero because they have normal standard distribution. But for the total factors, but in this work, I need to show that I need to compute it because I found some like problem with the new scoring when I don't estimated that. So for the WCCN, what we use is after estimating LDA, we project all our background in this slow dimensionality space, which is we move from 400 to 200. And after, we use also the same background, not the same, but only mixture back the data to estimate a WCCN in 200 space. So it's a, be careful here, WCCN is applied, WCCN is applied in the projected space of LDA, okay? So it's not in the original space. So here's some kind of visualization of all the steps, So this is five speakers, so each color is this one speaker, and each point is one recording for speaker. So this is five female speakers. So this is after LDA projection in two-dimensionality, okay? So if you do WCCN, so it is the same scatter, if you have the same here, the same like scale. So we are minimizing the intra-speaker variability. And when you do length normalization of cosine scoring, you are going in the spherical area here. So here the speaker one, here the speaker two, and the speaker three. So this is why how Patrick explained this morning about the dilatation. So all this data come in the same spherical area. So this is the diagram of total variability system. So when you have like not a lot of, first we use a lot of non-target speaker, or like a lot of speakers with several recording for each speakers. And I use MFCC extraction, I use EBM to, I'm going to retain the EBM, and after I extract the bomb wash statistical here for all the same, for all the same recording, and after I train the like factorizers to train the total variability matrix, and then here I extract the I vectors for all this recording, and then I estimate LDA WCCN. So here's LDA WCCN, here's total variability and EBM. So when I have a target, okay, so recording, so I just extract MFCCs and I use the EBM to extract the bomb wash statistic here and total variability to extract the total factors, and then I use LDA WCCN to normalize the new vectors. Okay, so when you have a test, we use the same process until getting the total variability matrix, the total factors, and then projecting with LDA WCCN, and then compute the cosine distance and make a final decision. So now, I will explain what score normalization is doing again in this space, okay? In this, what score normalization is doing in the case of cosine distance scoring. So let me simplify some equations. So this is like cosine distance scoring first, okay? So let's use, like we call that, total normalized total factors, which is the projection of LDA and Chomsky decomposition of the within class covariance normalization. So, and normalized by the length. So in this case, cosine distance scoring became just a dot product, okay? So just I just want to simplify to have a dot product, okay? So this is, you can see all this, like maybe, because we in the first papers we said that W, obtaining W is feature extraction, so we can see also all this as a feature extraction, because you do channel compensation, and the cosine became all just a dot product. So now, if you have, if you want to see, like, let's start with z-norm. So we have a target speaker and a set of z-norm iterants, okay? So you, for each iterant, you extract the total factors, okay? And you need to compute the mean of the scores, okay? The mean of the scores and the standard deviation of the scores, okay? So I try to say how to, how, what is the mean and standard deviation is doing, okay? What's the value of that? So I try to split. So this is the, so for every z-norm and posters, I try to split it in scores, like it's just dot product between target and posters, and it's divided by n. This is the mean, okay? So the target speakers, if you just simplify that, you take this out, it's just dot product between the target normalized I vectors and the mean of the posters z-norm total var, total normalized total factors, okay? So this is the mean, okay? So this is the imposter's normalized total vectors means, okay? So, and n is the number of imposter for the xenome. So if you see for standard deviation, you do the same process. You have this scores for between target and imposter xenomes. And this is the mean, which is exactly this one, okay? This is the dot product between the true normalized target, the true normalized target speakers and the imposters mean. And if you go, if you take the non-target, the target out, so here you can see this is the covariance matrix of the imposter z-norm. Okay, so score normalization, which is z-norm, is just, though if you, you try to put it in the equation of how to do score normalization, it's just shifting the test normalization by the mean of the impostors and doing another length normalization. But this length normalization is based on the between class impostors. Okay, this is an impostor. So this is mean that we are doing for the z-norm, if we want to do z-norm, we are doing another length normalization, but the direction is based on maximizing the distance between impostors. Okay? In a similar way, you can find a t-norm. So t-norm is, the z-norm is shifting the test, z-norm is shifting the target by the mean and doing the length normalization of the test. Z-norm is doing length normalization of the target, t-norm is doing length normalization of the test with some kind of covariance between impostors. So we built new scoring. One is simulate ZT-norm, this is not exactly the ZT-norm. He just simulates ZT-norm, so we shift the target. We use like some background of imposters, and we compute the mean of them, and we shift the target. We shift the target here, normalize target star factors, and also for the test by the imposters means, and normalize the both length of the test and the target here, based on within covariance impostors. So another one is SNORM that Patrick used, and he can refer to his new paper in Odyssey 2010. So it's SNORM, and in this case for SNORM, this is exactly SNORM. Because what SNORM is doing is maybe ZNORM because it's symmetrical scoring, so ZNORM and TNORM is the same. So it's for the target shifting the test and normalizing by the target here, it's shifting the target and normalizing by the test. So this is exactly SNORM. So we can do SNORM without any online hyperparameter estimation, just in the total variability space. So this kind of scoring helps a lot to speed up the process more. So we already just compute the cosine distance, so now we can do the ZT-norm, or maybe simulate ZT-norm, or compute S-norm in this total variability space. So let's do some experiments. So we use 2048 Gaussians with dimension 60, like we have 19 Gaussian MFCC plus energy plus delta, 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 delta. It's an old system that they have. I don't do any update for that, sorry. I didn't report a result also in 2010. Sorry for that. So it is 400 total factors, LDA reduced to 200, and WCCN is applied in 200 space, and use some kind of around 1000 Z norm and 200 T norm. For S norm, we use all, we combine all the imposter together, and for the mean and the covariance of the new scoring, we use all together, all the imposter together, but we use diagonal covariance matrix for the imposter, just to speed up the process and make an experiment. You can use the full too. So here, a lot of people ask me how you build total variability space. So I try to build this table to show how you can train your LDA and where, which database. So for the EBM, we use switchboard, bot cylinder, and line. We use this 2004 and 5. For total variability, we use all the data. So much data you have, much good is it. And use like minimum speaker that have two recording to build your total variability matrix. Okay, this is the first time that we succeed to use Fisher data in the factor analysis because Patrick tried in the past with the GFA and he didn't have success with that. LDA, I use switchboard and NIX 2004 and 5. And because I try to model this between speaker variability, so we need more speakers. For WCCN, it was surprising that I found that the best result is only 2004 and 5, maybe because in mixture data we have this kind of speaker speaking different telephone numbers and telephone compared to switchboard. I don't know, maybe that. This is why we need only mixture 2004 and 5. Okay, so this is the result. So I try to, this is the core condition of the 2008. Result, only female part, portion. So I just want to compare that it's, the score normalization is working here. I forget to put the score without score normalization, sorry. So this is the original scoring, like cosine distance with ZT norm, as I published it in the past. And when you do new ZT norm, we simulate ZT norm, it's, we've lost a little bit in core rate, 0.5 in absolute core rate, but with the DCF quite the same, there's not very big significant improvement. However, for all trials, we have some kind of trouble because his English trials and his all trials when we have different languages. And here, the accurate NDCF was very good in this new ZT-norm simulated scoring. Okay, so in S-norm, it's quite a competitive result and getting better result in all trials compared to do like original scoring. So it seems like we can do score normalization in the total variability space. So there's no problem for that. So this is intensigen result. So here, unlike core condition, we find that it's helped a lot here. It's improving the performance, not for the DCF, but for the echo rate, and also for the DCF all trials. And SNORM also is doing very well here in 10 seconds compared to the core condition. So as a conclusion, so for this paper, I tried to simplify life again by making the score normalization in total variability space. So it makes the process more simple and more fast if you want to try to optimize your cosine distance scoring. And we do it for the purpose of doing some speak and serve adaptation in order to not update the APR parameter of the ZT norm and T norm in the answer provided adaptation. So Stephen will talk more about after this talk. And thank you.
Any questions for Najim?
I promise, Najim, the question won't be too hard. Okay, so I guess you've got cosine distance criterion that you've used that you're saying, well, you're going to normalize using a new metric that you proposed because it seems to synthesize the ZT norm score normalization approach that works, right? Yeah. So you've got this cosine distance metric, and then the supervectors that you're using as part of this cosine distance metric, they've been normalized with LDA followed by within-class covariance normalization.
Yes.
Okay, so then the question for you is that if we're applying within-class covariance normalization, I guess these supervectors themselves, I guess they're trying to minimize the within-class covariance.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you push that into the cosine domain, you're not looking at minimizing distances in some hyper-ellipsoid or whatever. You're now looking at angle. So I'm wondering if you can change the criterion in your within-class covariance normalization, make some other normalization such that it's focused on separating your scores in the cosine distance domain.
I missed the point.
Okay, so what I'm saying is you're selecting, emphasizing a space based on a different criterion to what you're scoring with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you can modify the earlier normalization approach that you're using being LDA plus WCCN, if you can modify this such that it's more closely coupled with the target function you're using to give the scoring.
That can be a good point here, because this length normalization, okay, if I try to understand, like, for example, for ZT norm, so I try to do, okay, when I did cosine distance, so I'm doing LDA and WCCA, so I'm removing the within class. But here I told him, okay, do another length normalization and take the information of maximizing the between speaker. It can be seen as a between speaker covariance matrix. So it seems like I am quite losing information between speakers. Between LDA WCCN, that's true. When I see this kind of things, it seems like I am doing something that it hurt me. You're right, but this is a good point. That WCCN, I don't know if it's like, if there's a paradox here. Like LDA WCCN is projected out within, but this told me that I need to go in direction of the speakers.
Right.
So
yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know how to do that yet, because like...
So is this for the next Odyssey, right?
Huh?
This is for the next Odyssey.
That's true.
I have a comment regarding Jason's question. I tried to do length normalization before doing LDA and WCCN, and it actually helps.
It helps?
Yeah.
Before LDA WCCN?
I just do a length normalization before, okay, as a pre-processing. Then I do the LDA and WCCN.
Okay. I tried, but it didn't help me. So we need to talk. Because I tried it, and I think Mohammed also tried it. Do you try it, Mohammed? No, yes. And we found it's not helping us.
Okay. We should talk.
Yeah.
J-
Just a quick question. You say, so this is, you call that simulated ZT norm, right? And so on the target side, you're removing a mean divided by a variance. It's kind of a kernelized form of ZT norm, right?
That's what?
It's this is kind of a kernelized form of ZT norm. It's mm-hmm. a fast way of doing it, and you can do it at the score level. I'm just wondering, you know, when you do ZT norm, there's usually three steps. There's the Z norm, the T norm, and the actual ZT norm, which models the imposter against imposter distribution, right? And I can't see it in your formula. So I'm just
no. This is why I say it's simulate, because it's not exactly ZT norm.
I know. So I just want to have your thought about where that mean and variance went. I mean, is your system calibrated enough so that you have a perfect imposter to imposter distribution and you don't actually need this? You see where I'm going, or
you want that I try ZT norm in this new scoring, or what do you?
No, I'm just, well, you have your T norm mean and your T norm variance and Z norm mean and Z norm variance, and usually, you know, we're computing another one, mm-hmm. the ZT norm mean and variance, and right?
Okay, maybe I missed the point here.
How can I say that then? Yeah. So I don't know. You know, when you do ZT norm, it's a three-step process.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And you explain two.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering where the third went, and I'm wondering if the system is calibrated enough so that in the end it's a zero mean.
Okay. That's good. I tried to understand what the third one is doing in the middle, but I never succeed to.
It's a real pain.
Yeah, I know. And it's I never succeed to do that. But I try to see if my system is not is if the compiler is not is quite the same as ZT norm. Only the incorrect that's changed a little bit, but I never seen that behavior that's not well calibrated. It's still well calibrated, not bad, but not calibration. But if you have any comment about how I can put the third part, I will be happy to.
I think your system is actually doing the 0-1.
Yes. Because like I did it as norm because I need it in the new version of the system, but ZT norm I have this third part that I don't know how to do it, really. And here, if you are, this is one comment here, if you are doing like for example, you have training in the telephone and testing the microphone, so you can do this different based on which database you are using. So it can help you in the crosstalk, not the crosstalk, cross-channel trials.
Okay, thank you very much, Najim.
Thank you.